today, our presentation is going to be made by Jeanette and Rob Taylor. And Jeanette and I have spent a few minutes just renewing acquaintance, not having seen each other since, or for 40 years, when we were both in an elevator and I was expecting my second child. And was it your second, too? I think it was. Yeah. So it's been quite a while. Anyway, I think that you're going to enjoy the presentation today and appreciate the value of the work that's being done in this education program. Rob and Jeanette were born and raised in Regina, and when not working or traveling overseas, they taught mostly in the public high school system in Regina. They've spent many working years in developing countries, Ghana, Tanzania, Papua New Guinea, Kenya, and Botswana, and always in education. Rob was involved in the setting up of Accra Technical Training Center in Ghana in the mid-1960s, a CETA project originally staffed with instructors from Moose Jaw, and it's still going strong. After marriage and the birth of their daughter, and again with CETA, they spent 3 years in a Form 1 to 6 high school in the southern highlands of Tanzania. When their two children reached school age, they traveled with CUSO to Papua New Guinea, where Rob taught in a male teacher's college, while Jeanette taught in a female high school. Once their children were educated and launched in careers, Rob and Jeanette returned to Tanzania, this time with World University Services, to spend a year in the Ministry of Education helping to expand a national program of adult literacy. In 2000, they became involved with the Canadian Harambee Education Society, a Canadian registered charity based in New Westminster, BC, that recruits sponsors to pay the school fees of bright but poor secondary school girls in Kenya and Tanzania. Jeanette spent 6 months as a CHESS agent, and that's the Canadian Harambee School, in Kenya, with Rob as her companion and right-hand man. During the time in Kenya, they visited the project in Tanzania, and since then have spent 3 summers, including this one, helping out with the administration and implementation of the Tanzanian project. During their 2 years in Botswana in 2001-2003, again with the World University Services, their job was to set up an environmental education center in a rhinoceros sanctuary on the eastern edge of the Kalahari Desert. Since 2005, they've also regularly organized and escorted groups of travelers to both Botswana and Tanzania. So from this introduction, you can tell that we're about to hear about a very interesting project that has to do with the education of girls, but also from people who've been a lot of places and done a lot of things. I have to just move the mic here.
So, does one of you have the other?
No, can I stay over there?
Person.
Technical man, where should I be? Doesn't matter. Maybe I'll just sit beside you here if I don't block you. You can see. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. As Sandra has said, we've spent a lot of time in Africa and other places with education, and we have come to realize that girls are the most powerful force for the change on the planet. And there is a website, The Girl Effect, which you might like to look at sometime, because we know from experience that the surest way to keep a people down is to educate the men and neglect the women. And if you educate a man, you simply educate an individual. But if you educate a woman, you educate a family. And I'm sure most of you have heard that before. But we have seen it many times firsthand and know it works. And so we talk about the ripple effect, and those are some of the girls, the CHESS girls, or Canadian Harambee Education Society girls, in Katesh, Tanzania, in the picture there, at a workshop. And we've found, and the research says, that when a girl in a developing country receives 7 or more years of education, in other words, primary school, she marries 4 years later and has 2.2 fewer children. And Yet another chess girl there, lovely girl. An extra year of primary school, and most go from in Tanzania for 7 years, in Kenya for 8 years to primary school. But it boosts the girl's eventual wages by 10 to 20%, and an extra year of secondary school gives them 15 to 25% higher wages, even if they don't complete. And also, research in developing countries has shown a consistent relationship between better infant and child health and higher levels of schooling among mothers. And when women and girls earn income, they reinvest 90% of it into their families, as compared to only 30 to 40% for a man who tends to spend it on his friends and drink. This is a very lovely friend of ours. Her name is Nema, and we're starting with her picture, the 10 advantages of women's education. Nema is a secondary school teacher of English in Tanzania. She was a former chess-sponsored girl, and in fact, she had to run away from home and hide because her parents were beating her. They didn't want her to go on to school in secondary school, and they had no money anyway. She finally approached a teacher who sheltered her, gave her a home, and got her under the chess program, and she's never turned back. Women who are educated are more able to influence their future. You might go back to that for a minute, Rob. Notice the Canadian flag in her ear. One time we were in Katesh in Tanzania, we handed out the little pins, Canadian pins, to all of the chess-sponsored girls, and they promptly put them in their ears as earrings. Women who are educated, like this woman here, are able to reduce poverty. This woman is a secondary school headmistress in Tanzania. Women who are educated reduce the risk of child mortality, which is very high in Tanzania. Women who are educated are 50% more likely to have their child immunized, and because they've learned about health and things. This is Naomi Sula, who is the secretary treasurer of CHESS in Tanzania. And she's definitely educated. Her father was a Barabag tribesman who himself was educated and became the headmaster of a school in Tanzania. So he was quite keen to have his family all educated, including the girls. And Naomi even learned to drive by driving their tractor. And not many people have tractors in Tanzania, but they had a tractor, and she learned to drive that way and ended up driving for CHESS for some time before she became really involved with it. This is Maria, another lovely CHESS grad. Women who are educated are less likely to be taken advantage of, less likely to contract HIV/AIDS, which has become a huge problem all over Africa. In the Hanang region where Katesh is located, it has not been a big issue yet, but they have just finished this year a superhighway going through the town of Katesh, where CHESS is located, which means there are truck drivers and trucks and going through all the time, and AIDS will spread. So they need to know how to prevent it. This is Agnes. She at one time was the office manager of CHESS in Katesh, also a CHESS-sponsored graduate, and now a computer geek. Women who are educated are less likely to become victims of domestic or sexual abuse. This is the mother of some primary children that lived near us in Katesh. Women who are educated reduce corruption and change the conditions that lead to terrorism. And here's Nema again. They called her Mama Mtindi, which means Mrs. Fashion, because even though she had very little money, she always managed to look very smart with secondhand clothes and local fabrics and jewelry and so on. Women who are educated are better equipped to contribute to the family income. And Nema is a very good example of this. She has one child expecting another one. The older one is 6 years old, and she has managed to put him into a boarding school nearby where she teaches. And she keeps in touch with him daily or with his teacher by cell phone. And on weekends, she's able to visit him. So she has to pay school fees for that. This is Seema. She is also a CHESS-sponsored grad, and she runs a market stall in Katesh, selling beautiful vegetables and fruit. So women who are educated are healthier and tend to have greater self-esteem and self-confidence, and this woman certainly did. This is Mary Gutagno. Her husband, Duncan, is no longer living, but when he was, he objected to the wheat project sponsored by CEDA, Canada, and was very much against it for reasons I'll explain later. But Mary herself took it upon herself to learn about women and the law, and has even spoken in Harvard University in the United States about the situation of people in Tanzania. She formed a Barabag, that again is the tribe, craft group of women to help so women could support themselves in the community. So she's contributed to their community and helped it prosper. These two girls, on the left is Tina, and on the right is Bernadetta, or Bernie as we call her. Both educated CHESS-sponsored girls, grads. They both worked in the CHESS office at one time, and now Tina, on the left, who is a Barabag tribeswoman, has gone off to work with her own people, who are pastoralists, cattle raisers, nomadic people, and as a community developer. And Bernadetta has continued to work in the CHESS office. She pretty much runs the whole office. She's in her early 30s, and she is totally devoted to CHESS and to the girls who are sponsored. She'll work overtime day after day just to get her work done. So there's Katesh, and it's pretty much right in the middle of Tanzania. The red line up above is the equator, and Lake Victoria is the blob on the left. So we're right in the middle of the country, in the middle of nowhere. So what are the difficulties of educating girls in developing countries like Tanzania? First of all, they often don't complete primary school. If parents can afford fees at all, send their boys rather than girls. There are no fees for primary school, which is like grades 1 to 7, but once they get into secondary school, there's a lot of money involved in getting children to school. Culturally, girls are needed at home to help mothers in the garden, cooking, carrying water, child care of siblings, all things that boys don't normally do. Some do, but not usually. They just study and have fun. Often there are long, dangerous walks to school, and by long I mean 10 kilometers each way, and they are prey to both men, to whom they don't know how to say no, and wildlife. Girls don't get in, or who do not get into secondary school are often billeted, girls who do get into secondary school are often billeted with relatives near school, and they become household slaves. They have no time to study. There's usually no electricity after dark to do homework and study. Sun ups at 6, sundowns at 6, so they don't have much time to do anything for themselves. And often early marriage is an issue. Even when girls get into secondary school, sometimes they go home for a break and their parents marry them off. This is Isabella. She's wearing the traditional Barabag costume, and she is a Barabag tribeswoman, but she doesn't normally dress like that anymore. That's goatskin. Her people are a pastoralist society, and I should say that the reason why she's dressed like that in this picture is because she is part of a group of actors that are going from village to village trying to encourage people to keep their children in school. Her people are nomadic herders. They keep cattle, goats, and sheep. They don't traditionally have permanent villages. They follow the rains so that their cattle can have grazing. They live a subsistence existence, but they are very self-reliant, very proud people. But you can imagine that they can't keep their children in school when they keep moving around all the time. And they have very little cash, if any. The grazing area in the Hanang district, where Katesh is, has been taken over by huge wheat plantations. The people were moved off the land to villages, and this is not their original culture. And so they haven't been able to graze their cattle on these lands. It's all wheat now, thanks to a CETA project. And although we feel badly about Canada being involved in this, Canada was invited to do this by Tanzania. The Cash Society has arrived, and there is a bank in Katesh, but very few people can have bank accounts because they don't have any cash. For secondary school, there aren't enough secondary schools for all the children who graduate from primary school to go to, even if they can pay. And so there is a huge selection process. The top students get to go, of course, and the ones who can pay. And as the population increases, it becomes more and more of an issue. And it costs money. These are some of the current problems. First of all, the basics that they learn in primary school are not always adequate to get them into secondary school, and I think we're finding the same thing in Canada lately. There are no textbooks in some schools. There is no electricity. There is a shortage, huge shortage of teachers. One girl just wrote to her sponsor in Regina and said, "We haven't had a math teacher," and this is secondary school I'm talking about, "since January." English is often the students' fourth language in this area. They speak Barabag, they speak Iraqi, they speak Kiswahili. English is their fourth language, and it's very weak. But the textbooks are in English. And the teachers have not been taught English by English-speaking people for several decades now, and so their English is pretty weak too. And so they tend to slip into Kiswahili or one of the local languages, and so it makes the students have even more problems with the language. And as we said before, it's a long walk to school. If they're boarding, sometimes, as I said before, they're slaves to the family they're boarding with. The government rule, 50-50, that means it has to be 50% girls, 50% boys in every class. Sometimes the girls are smarter than boys and there should be more girls than boys in the class, but that doesn't happen. And there are huge classes. 100 in a class or more is not uncommon. So, CHESS has looked at possible solutions. First of all, we wondered why there were a lot of Barabag children not getting into secondary school, and it turned out they'd never finished primary school in the first place. And that's what CHESS, Canadian Harambe was targeting originally was the Baribag people. So primary initiatives were set up, lunch programs for in primary school to keep the children in school, because otherwise they were getting up before dawn, walking maybe 10 kilometers to school with no breakfast, no food all day long, walking home another 10 kilometers. You can imagine how energetic they all felt. So they tried to get some lunch programs going with the help of the women in the communities, and it seems to be working. Book boxes delivered to some of the schools, sponsored by some of the British Columbia secondary schools and elementary schools. Traveling plays we've already talked about, done by chess grads. Two hostels have been built for chess students, one 8 kilometers up the road from Katesh, and one right in Katesh called the Sarah Williams Hostel. And you might know who Sarah Williams is. She was a horticulturalist with the University of Saskatchewan for many years and has written many books on plants. Recently, Chess has purchased 10 acres of land for a garden, and I'll talk about that after. They've decided that in order to help with the girls' studies, they will provide extra tutorials in June, July during school break, and local teachers are hired to do this. It's been very successful. They have workshops at the same time, bringing in all the chess girls in Tanzania, and this year there were 280 of them, to talk about different issues, anything from exam writing, the environment, health, female concerns. Then Form 1 English immersion, because we could see that the English was so weak when they were coming into secondary school. And a woman was coming from BC every year to teach the teachers, to train the teachers how to do English immersion. And next year, Rob is going to be doing a math immersion and training of teachers for math to see if it can be upgraded too, because their marks are abominable in math, pretty much countrywide. And finally, they've set up a shop in Katesh to teach people computer skills, knitting, tailoring, and providing cheap school supplies and personal items, and to teach people how to run a shop. These are some of the tutorial teachers that we met this year. We know many of them already, and you can see Nema is sort of in the middle row there, third from the left. The fellow that is in the middle row right on the left is Sam Washa, and he was actually the first chess girl. And he's not a girl at all, of course, but he was the whole reason for chess moving from Kenya into Tanzania in 1993, because he needed to be sponsored, very bright fellow. And from then, it became just a girl-sponsored thing. Sam is now a secondary school second master. He's the head of the math department. He's in charge of the games or sports at his school. And he also runs his own private after-school tutorial classes. To sponsor a chess girl, it's now $600 per year, and this covers their tuition, their books, their uniform, room and board, fees, pocket money, welfare, that's medicalized, dental, and all the money that a sponsor sends in goes directly to support the girl. Administration fees are raised in Canada by fundraisers such as golf tournaments and so on. These are some of the girls that are sponsored in the Lumsden area. That's our girl, Scholasta, up in the upper left corner. She's just a beautiful girl. We've met her 3 or 4 times now because we're back and forth so much. She's in Form 4, so we're hoping that she will go on to what they call high school, Form 5 and 6, next year. She's very bright, one of the top 10 students in her class. On the left also is Angela. You would think it was Angela, but of course it's a Swahili pronunciation, Angela, sponsored by Dr. and Lani Knaus of Lumsden. And she's in Form 1. In the upper right is Janeth, and often they put a TH on things where we wouldn't, and she's sponsored by the Tylers of Lumsden. She's in Form 2. She's a cute little thing, but her marks aren't very good, so we're just hoping that when she writes her national exams at the end of this year, that she will go on to Form 3, because if she doesn't pass, she won't go on. There's a cutoff there. Maria is sponsored by Valerie and Barry Mitschke of Lumsden, and she's also in Form 1. So there's a picture of the land, 10 acres purchased for growing maize and beans, which are the staple foods of Tanzania. And there will be some other crops, but mainly maize and beans, because it's 40 kilometers out of Katesh and they need to have it supervised, and they can't just have things like tomatoes growing there. The two hostels that I mentioned before, this is the one in Katesh, built by Sarah Williams, and there are now 99 girls living in that hostel, but when we were there in the summer, there were 280 girls staying in that hostel, all sleeping in piles for almost 3 weeks. We couldn't believe it, but you never heard any bickering, any complaining. They're just happy, happy, happy. They loved it. This is the shop that I mentioned, which is sort of a training shop to teach girls how to run a shop, so they can then, after about 9 months of working there, then they go off and get a job somewhere else. So this is just a training shop, and there are all kinds of things you can buy in it. This is Rafina and Esther, who are currently working in there, but they'll soon be gone and somebody else will take their place. Well, Chess started off in 1982, well, not actually then, but two teachers, Laurie Williams and Maureen Pollard, had been traveling around the world from BC. They'd taken a year off, and they ended up volunteering in Kenya in a school in the Kakamega area near Lake Victoria. And while there, the headmaster of the school was dismissed, and Laurie was asked to take his place temporarily. Well, December came, exams were written, finals, and this was grade 8 there. And the smartest girl in the school, whose name was Margaret, was not able to go on to secondary school because there was no money in the family. Laurie felt awful about this and was shocked that Margaret was probably not a unique case. And so she sponsored her herself, headed back to Canada, and started bothering her friends about sponsoring girls such as Margaret. There has since been a video put out called Educating Margaret that explains that story. By 1985, Laurie had succeeded in getting Chess as a charitable organization, and it wasn't until 1993 that Tanzanian students were added, and I mentioned Sam was the first one, but by then they found 180 other students very quickly. CETA started to throw in a little bit of money once in a while, and eventually by 2013, 280 girls in Tanzania, but 700 in all, including Kenya. That's Mount Hanang. It looks like it's erupting there. It's a live volcano, but it hasn't erupted for some time, and it kind of watches over Katesh and the Chess operations. And on the right are the girls after the tutorials and workshops that we were helping with in June and July this year. And they're just waiting to go home, waiting for their rides and to get their transportation fees so they can take the bus home. This little primary school student who lived near Chess House, and she really is the future of Tanzania. Bright little girl, and we hope that she does well. So that's just the Chess website. And if you want to be a donor or a sponsor or an agent, just go to their website and look it up. We've been agents in Kenya and have helped out a lot in Tanzania since 2000. And then just another little girl who maybe will be a Chess girl one day. So those are some problems and solutions for educating girls in our world. Food for thought. Thank you.
Now, we hope that you will answer some questions. I can see we already have several questions here, and I've got a whole bunch because I am...
Okay, I've got a microphone here, Sandra. I'm just thinking maybe we could leave the mic.
Okay, I'll leave this with
yeah, and seeing as I've got the mic, I want to ask your question first.
I'll stand up for this.
I noticed some reference to CETA, and it sounds like their contribution has been sparse.
Yes.
And my understanding of the CETA has been pretty well dismantled by the present government. I'm just wondering what level of support you get from the Canadian government at this time.
Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. The only support from CETA was for some very small projects, and they had to be applied for, of course, all of these grants that we got. And it wasn't very much money, maybe, I mean, lots to me, but $20,000 or something at a time to do some of the work in to try and encourage education to continue in Tanzania in that area. Yeah. But they haven't applied anymore because it was a horrendous process and very time-consuming. We decided we could get our money other ways.
Hi. Thanks very much for this. I've heard of, you know, other sorts of projects that are similar, and so there are around the world, of course. And what I'm wondering about is why you two personally feel motivated to do this. What, you know, was there an event? Was it your own beliefs? Is it? I know that's a big question, but
well, I think I can answer it. It goes back a long way because Rob originally worked in Ghana for a couple of years in Accra, as Sandra introduced. And when he came back, we started going out together. We were both teaching at Central Collegiate, room to room, you know, and so we had to talk to each other and eventually started going out. And
we don't talk to each other anymore.
No, no. And he talk about Ghana all the time, nonstop. And then he asked me to marry him, and I said, well, I will if you'll either stop talking about Ghana or take me to Africa, one or the other. And so within about a year, we were living in Tanzania. Well, it was such a wonderful experience that our hearts were really in Africa, not necessarily Tanzania, but yes, mostly in Tanzania. And so we were there 3 years, and we didn't get back again, thanks to Fred Harland, whom I'm sure you all know, or most of you anyway, in 1997 in Tanzania with the literacy program that he had been looking into and supporting and so on. And so that's why we were there in 97, but with World University Service. And it just gets into your blood. And of course, being educators, both of us, and seeing the big problems there, especially with girls, we just wanted to do something. We could do something here too, but there, it was wanted. You know, we were invited to go. So that's basically why we went. And never regretted it.
OK.
Okay, I was just going to ask you about, you said there was a high rate of child mortality in Tanzania. What is the reason for that? I often think of my grandparents coming here to the harsh prairies, and we didn't have that problem here without lack of medical care and so forth and so on. And one other thing, the problem of textbooks. Here, they all go into the garbage, the blue box.
The child mortality, they do live in fairly harsh conditions in the outlying areas, and it's even worse in the urban areas. Good drinking water, malaria, and various diseases that just seem to come out of nowhere. And they're a long way from medical clinics, a lot of them, too, you know. I think that there is a problem with nutrition in many cases, and that leads to women not being as healthy as they could be, and they work horrible hours, and they walk incredible distances, and they carry firewood and all this sort of thing, and they have child-rearing responsibilities, and the kids suffer. That's one reason, and I think it's getting a lot better now. I mean, there is a hospital in Katesh, there are clinics nearby, and slowly they are looking after themselves, and they're realizing that they have to do this on their own. We believe in a hand up rather than a hand out. And so that's why the Canadian Harambe Education Society appealed to us, because we were answering a request, and we're just sort of standing on the sidelines helping out. We're not sort of the paternalistic organization popping in and telling them what to do. I mean, that is the worst thing that we can do in the third world. I guess the third world isn't even a politically correct term anymore, but we're old. We use it. Does that answer any of your questions?
The other one was the textbooks. And, there's just no money for textbooks in Tanzania, and sending books from here is not what to do. You can buy textbooks in Tanzania. What they need is money to buy them and appropriate textbooks. I know lots of people have sent cartloads of books to developing countries. For the most part, they're not very useful. They need to be specific to what their curriculum is.
Yeah. And they are locally available, written in their local language as well, particularly in the primary schools. So that's important that they have books in their language. We can't send them from here. And it costs an astronomical amount of money to fill a container with books and then send it overseas and then get it through customs in the receiving country and then get it transported up country. It makes more sense. Money travels really fast and easily, you know. And it doesn't cost all that much to provide textbooks for a tin box full of textbooks to a primary school is just like manna from heaven, I guess you'd say.
What they have been doing to supply textbooks is some of the elementary schools in Victoria, BC, have raised money, and then the money is transported to Tanzania, where books are purchased, a tin box is purchased, the books are put in the box and delivered to a primary school. So that's what they've been doing, so that they have something to read and textbooks.
I have at least five questions, but I'll only ask one. I understand you're taking people to Tanzania and Botswana this coming year. January, you're off to Tanzania?
February.
February? And how does this work? Do you take people to as part of CHESS, or...
We spend a couple of nights in Katesh and visit with people and see how this CHESS organization works. as part of our trip. Yes.
Thank you.
What about your other four? I have two questions. One, I'd like to know who pays for your travel.
We do.
You do yourselves.
Okay. We're given a charitable tax receipt for the cost of our flights or any in-country travel, and the rest we pay ourselves, like our food and everything. Everything comes out of our pocket, but we do get a tax receipt for it.
Yeah. The other question has to do with the World University Service. I wonder of what aid it has been to you in your projects, and are they still an active organization in that regard?
WUSC, as they call it, we were volunteers with WUSC, and so we're sent over there as WUSC volunteers in the Ministry of Education, and Fred Harland is the one who instigated that.
Fred,
yeah. And so with an agency like WUSC, your transport is paid for, and the local country actually looks after your living allowances and finds you a place to live. So as out of our pocket, nothing for the flights, medical insurance included, and our housing. But our day-to-day living and so on, that was our own. And if we wanted to travel within the country, that was ours as well. CUSO was the same in Papua New Guinea.
But there was a salary.
But there is a salary with CUSO, and it's negotiated with the local country. And that is big. But it's the equivalent of what somebody in that country would earn doing that job. So you can imagine that it varies from country to country. Yeah, but WUSC is not connected with CHESS at all. CHESS is a Canadian Harambe Education Society in New Westminster. Harambe, by the way, in Swahili means let's pull together, and they use it like we'd say 1, 2, 3, pull. And they say Harambe. So that's where that comes from. Is that okay for your answer? Thanks.
Hi, Rob. Rob was actually a high school teacher at my high school at Robert Usher. And I remember him always telling me stories of you two over there climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and all those interesting stories. But I don't remember you actually ever being involved in these projects. Were you involved at that time, or was this something that you, while traveling, stumbled across?
When we were working at Usher, that would be after we came back from Papua New Guinea. So we had been volunteering with them, and we had done some work in Africa before with CEDA. A long time ago, CEDA used to send educators, they called them, you know. So we were 3 years in Tanzania with CEDA. So, yeah, we were sort of working on projects even before I got to Usher.
Okay.
And you were a great project to work on.
Well, I know our time is more than up. Thank you so much. We really appreciated having you speak with us today. So it's been most interesting.
We're more than pleased to do it.
Thank you for having us.
If anybody wants to watch some more, we have another slide presentation later, you know, if you want. But don't feel obliged.
Thanks so much.
Okay, I'll leave that there.